My ears stopped up, so I hear myself when I talk. Been studying a lot, thinking a lot, and the Lord just keeps dealing with me. I taught in Sunday school. Let me start off right here. If you don't come to Sunday school, you need to come to Sunday school. It's just part of church. It's good. It goes hand in hand. The teachers we got, I ain't in the other classes, but I know who teaches in there, and I know they take it seriously. I hear the kids and how they love their teachers and what's going on, but we got good teachers. We got a good church, and it'll help you if you'll come to Sunday school. When I'm dead and y'all looking at me or whatever the case may be, I hope that's one of the things y'all remember. Brother Tiny told us we need to go to Sunday school. It'll help you. Over in Deuteronomy chapter number 1, it says, "These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side of Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them." So we're going to go over now to Deuteronomy chapter 4. He's telling them what God has, and if you read on, I challenge you to go and read these chapters. But he's just telling them where they've messed up, what God had a plan for them, and how they've turned from that. And he's just telling them, because he's not going to go into the promised land. Joshua's going to take the people over into the promised land. So Moses is getting Joshua and the people ready to do that. And chapter number 4 says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes, unto the judgments, which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you." I want to read that again in your hearing. It says, "Now therefore hearken." Listen, pay attention, hearken, get this. Davin, if you don't get anything, get this, what God's trying to tell us. He says, "Unto the statutes and the judgments which I teach you," and he don't stop right there, he says, "for to do them." So not only does he want us to hearken and hear it, but he wants us to make it an action. Amen. Not just a hearer of the word of God, but a doer of the word of God. And that's where we're at in today's time. We got a lot of people that hear the word of God, but they don't do the word of God. And like I was starting out a little bit, Brother E asked us to teach Sunday school, and the falling away is what I taught on. There's a falling away. There's a sense of apathy, a sense of just. Lackadaisical, just you know, I'll go if I want to go. I'll go Sunday night if I want to go Sunday night. I'll go Wednesday if I want to go Wednesday. And that's just attendance there. But there's other things in our walks and in our lives that we hearken to, but we don't do them. And that's part of the falling away. And as we're studying on Deuteronomy, we're reading and we're studying about them wandering in the wilderness. They just wandered and wandered and wandered 40 years in the wilderness. And history repeats itself, especially if we don't hearken to it and do it. It'll repeat itself. So now here comes the falling away in the New Testament. The falling away that is talking about this. We don't take it serious anymore. We go when it's convenient. We'll go when I'm happy. We'll go when I don't have a headache or a bone in my leg or, you know, whatever's on TV that I want to watch ain't on, I'll go. That's the sense that we have. And in the day and time which you and I live in, you can't turn the TV on and not want to throw up. It just baffles me how the world's completely going the wrong way, and we don't want to go to church and pray to God that He'll forgive us. We don't want to go to church and repent because we think it's going to be okay. We think, well, and what we do, we judge each other, or we look at each other on how each other worships and serves the Lord, and I'm better than this one, or I'm not as good as that one, but I'm close. And that's what these Israelite people did. And what we see here is some of them had to pay with their lives. Some of them had to pay with their families' lives. So I said, verse number 2 says, well, let me go back to 1. It says, for to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. We'll get into this a little bit later on, but what lands has God given you since you got saved? What lands have God given you since you got saved? Verse number 2, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. I'm going to read that again. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord. What do we see going on in today's time? All these other books, they've added to and they've taken away. They've added to and they've taken away. They softened it down. They softened it down a little bit where it's a little more, back when they used to have Bible stores, bookstores, they had a section, and the King James was like a 8th or 9th grade reading. And hey, that's what I need, amen. I need a simple, it's simple, but it's powerful. But they add to, they don't want to preach, they don't want to say what thus saith the Lord, they want to sugarcoat it, they want to, there it is, but hey, I just want to water it down a little bit. I just want to water it down so it ain't as strong. It's a little more easy to go by. It's a little bit easier. We can get the numbers back up. All right, church, y'all see the numbers are down a little bit for Sunday night. Matter of fact, the numbers are down for Sunday morning Sunday school. If we back up just a little bit, if we don't quite preach as long, if you don't let them young preachers get up there and preach against sin, and you just say God is love and we love and we're going to go out and love our neighbor. And yeah, we are to love our neighbor. Love them enough to tell them the truth. Amen. Love them enough to say that you must be born again. Love them enough to say God sent his son into this world to die for your sins. That's what we need to love them by. And we don't need to water these things down. Why? Because God's give us some land. And we don't need to let those things up. Verse number 3 says, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God had destroyed them from among you. So we know the story of Balaam and Balak. If you don't, it's over there about Numbers, about 24, 25, I think, where the king of Moab, he sent over there to Balak, and he wanted him to curse the Israelite people, and he couldn't. God told him not to go, but he went anyway. He couldn't. But if you read over there, and that's where we're getting to here, around the 25th chapter, Balak had told him, I can't curse those people. He said, but if you'll let your women entice them men to come up and worship up on top of that mount, would y'all God a cursing? So here's what he's telling you. Here's what he's telling them and us today, that you saw, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor for all the men that followed Baal Peor. The Lord thy God had destroyed them from among you. And God will do that for us if we'll just be obedient to his word and to his commandments. Verse number 4, it says, but ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive. Every one of you this day that cleave. We got to cleave to him. We got to really attach to him. Everything within us, diligently seek him with everything that's in our heart. And like I say, that's one of the things that, as I've been studying this, we was just this last week, we went to lunch, and there's a car. We're waiting on the car to go. Light turns green. Of course, they got their head down. They're doing this. And I'm waiting. Finally, they take off. And now they're going slow. And we're trying to get on the expressway. They're going slow. I'm chomping at the bits. I want to go around them. They're holding me back. We go to get on the expressway in the acceleration lane. They just dart off the side of the road. And then snatched it back over. Well, of course, I'm trying to look up, see if I can snatch over to keep that person from hitting me. And Jessica says, a distracted driver. A distracted driver. And I said, boy, that'll preach.
Amen.
That'll preach. Distracted Christians.
Come on. Yeah.
What are we dealing with today in our times that distracts us? The things that we have come up in our lives that just distracts us. It's easy for us to look and say, well, I wouldn't have went that way at Baal Peor. I wouldn't have went with that crowd. Hey, but you might be over here going with this crowd. It's just talking about that one crowd there. But what have we got in our heart? What do we put before God? I recently, several months now, got a new phone, and every Sunday it comes up and tells me my average times of where I spend on the phone. And I go, man, I look at that and I said, I've wasted a lot of time. Now I'm working. I'm doing things at work. I'm answering emails on my phone. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But some of that's, all that's not work. Some of that's distractions. And then here's my poor old Bible. My poor old Bible. Thank God that the phone don't keep up with how many hours I spend on my Bible. Thank God that it don't keep up with my prayer minutes. Not hours, minutes. Thank God it don't keep up with my reading minutes. See where I'm going there? So we did later on, now that's that one thing about the distracted driving. Then later on during the week, we went to lunch, and Jessica had forgot her phone back at the office. So we're at lunch, and she said, man, I forgot my phone. Because I'm over there while we're waiting on our food to get there. I'm over there playing spades. I'm playing the card game spades. And of course, Jessica ain't got hers, so she said, man, I feel naked without my phone. I said, man, that'll preach.
Yeah, come on.
I said, keep it up, Jessica. You're doing a good job. So I got to thinking about that. She said, I felt naked. She said, and she's just talking. She's just regular talk. And I got thinking about that. I said, okay, she feels naked without her phone. And I've forgotten my phone, so I knew exactly what she was talking about. All of a sudden, I don't have a connection in case Linda needs to call me. I don't have a connection to play my spades while I'm waiting on my Mexican food to get there, right, Brother Richard? But I got thinking about that, and went a little further. It was a sense of emptiness, I guess you would say, that all of a sudden it shot the body. It was an emptiness. There was a incompleteness, an inability to function. That's what we done got to in today's society. When we went out there, to MD Anderson, I'm going to tell you, all them people walk a long way just to get to their office to go to work. They walk a long way. They, matter of fact, they got a trolley that takes people, but it's really for the patients. But if patients ain't on there, the employees can get on it. But every one of them's doing this. Every one of them. Look up just a minute. Look up. Pass people. People passing you by. Look at you, but they don't want to say nothing to you, Big John. They look and say, look back down. A disconnect. There's a disconnect because of this. There's a disconnect. B-L-P-O-R. B-L-P-O-R. A little G God.
Yeah.
Another God. And it's got the whole world. It ain't just in America.
Yeah.
It's over in China. It's everywhere. It's a disconnect. You can be anywhere, be anything, see anything that you want to on that thing. So I got thinking about that. I said, man, it makes us feel naked. It makes us feel incomplete. It makes us feel secure, an ability to not be able to function. And I said, man, wouldn't that be great if every time I went to lunch, I didn't grab up my Word of God and leave this back at the shop? Because there was a time that's the way it was. There was a time that was the way it was. Wonder if when somebody saw us and we didn't have our Bibles, it was shock then. Man, that was weird. Brother Tiny didn't have his Bible. That was weird. What about that? Think about that. These distractions, these things that make us wander in the wilderness. Because we're seeking what the flesh wants. We're seeking what we want. We're disconnected to the Word of God, to the voice of God, to the Spirit of God, to the will of God. Because we can easily point our fingers at them Israelites. Man, how many times have I said, boy, they ignorant. They are ignorant. After what God done for them, think about the miracles they saw before he brought them out of Egypt. Think about that. And it was just a short period of time. They was murmuring and grumbling. And I'll be honest with you, I would have been right there with them. I'd have probably been one of their leaders, murmuring, complaining about the man of God. Complaining how God took us out of here to bring us over here to kill us. I wish he'd have just left us over there. At least we wouldn't have died hungry. We Baptists, come on, I know y'all. Amen. I ain't just talking about y'all, I'm talking about me. But it was just amazing how I had been reading in here and how God just started opening these things up. And I thought on about it, and I know there's some companies have rules that their salesmen, because they're driving their car and they're on the company time, that they can't use the cell phone while they're driving. I know some of our paint stores, when I call them, hey, I'm away from the phone, I can't answer the phone while I'm driving. Some of the insurance people, I hear that. So I thought about that, and I said, well, wonder if they're going down the road, nobody's there, they're waiting on somebody to call back that they need to know an answer from, they're driving down the road, and the phone rings. And they go, I know I ain't supposed to pick that up, and I know if I do, I can get in trouble. But I'm going to pick it up real quick. I'm going to make it quick. I ain't even going to pick it up. I'm just going to hit answer because I got it in the little holder up on the dash. where they say you're supposed to be hands-free. So I'm legally, I'm okay. So they answer it, they hang up. But just this week, we had a little young girl come in. I don't know how she is, 17, 18, 19. $10,000 worth of repairs. So her daddy come in there with her. Yes, she hit a mailbox. She got distracted. $10,000 that daddy's going to pay out of pocket to keep it off the insurance. $10,000. $10,000. So I thought about that as I was thinking about that person. That company keeps a record of all their cell phone calls. They can look and say, well, you was driving from this location, you answered the phone. You was distracted, you hit the mailbox, $10,000. Now you're paying for it. I thought about that. You say, well, Brother Tiny, that ain't bad. Now let's say that somebody was going to their mailbox. Brother Larry, that just come to my mind. Brother Larry, going to his mailbox, got hit. Went on to be with the Lord. Now that girl has to live with that. So he's telling us this. He's telling us to really grasp onto these things. He's telling us, hey, pay attention. He's telling us to cleave to him. He's telling us that this is the way, the straight and narrow way. But in 2024, we just want in any old way. And now we see that wave of people that's falling away. That wave. And then when I studied that falling away, it's a divorcement. It's a divorcing. So if I start falling away, because I promise you, the ones that I have seen fall away, I've seen some that I know is way stronger than me. Way stronger than me, and they fell away. So I'm scared. I'm terrified. I don't want to fall away. I don't want to fall away from my family. I don't want to fall away from you, buddy. I don't want to fall. I want to finish this race. I want to head towards that prize, that high prize. That's what I want to go for. And I don't want to fall away. And we, as a body of Christ, we got to exhort one another. We got to help one another. We really got to come together and stick together, because it does make a difference. It does make a difference when we're not here. It does make a difference when we're on the outs. Just Brother Tracy was preaching on them unclean spirits, on the outs. You're focusing all on this and you're not praising God. That happens. That happens to me. I have to fight them things. Get behind me, Satan. I'm submitting to God. I'm resisting you. You go on and flee. I plead the blood. You can't come across this blood. You can fight me. You can attack me, but you can't come across the blood. That's what we got to do in 2024. Because I'm telling you, just in the election alone, we're in trouble. Whether Trump gets it or whether Biden gets it, we're in trouble. But here's what I see. There's an attack on Christianity that's coming wide open like a train. It is a train, and you know you can't stop a train. This takes a long way for that joker to pull them brakes and for that thing to stop, because of the momentum and the weight that it's got behind it. And that momentum train, it's chugging. This socialism that's come up in this country, you can't go, and I know it's probably recorded, but I'm telling the truth, and I'll tell the truth in front of the Supreme Court and say, thus saith the Lord, when I do it. But I'm telling you, you can't go to no other country and just go in there and tell them you're going to come stay and you're going to live. And then we just pouring them in here. Now our families is getting killed and murdered and raped. It's coming. It's coming to a city near you. It's in your city now. Athens is just right. And that's just because it happened at Athens. They're in Conyers. They're in Covington. They're in Henry County. It's evilness. It's demons that's attacking. And you're going to have to stand up. The Bible says you're going to be persecuted because you say you follow me. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be persecuted at school. You're going to be persecuted on your job. You're going to be persecuted when you go out to eat. You're going to be persecuted if you bow your head to pray. You're going to be persecuted. What do we got to do? We got to come together. We got to unite. And then we got to compel loved ones and friends and acquaintances to come in to a marriage supper. That's what we got to do. We need to really pay attention. We need to read that Old Testament so we don't fall into the same things that they fell into. Because that's what we're going through. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's just creeping. It's just creeping. It's creeping. And then the men of God, they're suffering. They're suffering. They're suffering because they're over the flock. This side's mad at this side, and this one said something to this one. It's crazy. It is crazy what's coming in. And I know Brother Tracy mentioned this the other day, but this bringing the water bottles and the Stanley cups in, I'm telling you, that's not reverence to the house of God. Yes, everybody in here gets thirsty because Baptist preachers preach too highly. Yeah, but what makes it, well, you drank and then the other ones don't. Well, then we'll just open it up to everybody. Well, now everybody's drinking. Now they ain't drinking water. Now they're bringing in Dr. Peppers, Mountain Dews. Now they got to go to the bathroom because you do preach 2 hours and I done drunk 2 or 3 Stanley cups full. And where's the Holy Ghost? Where's the Holy Ghost? Standing over at the side just begging people to come, but they're busy. They're busy. They're wanting these things. They're distracted. They're busy. It's distractions. It's wandering in the wilderness. Who are you listening to? Are you listening to those unclean spirits? Are you listening to the Spirit of God? Because this gets preached. It gets preached right. It gets preached straight out of the Word of God. It has not been added to, has not been taken away from. But you got to say to yourself, sir, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Ma'am, you got to say to yourself, as for me and my house, I'm going to follow behind my man of God. I'm going to go with him. We're going to unite. We're going to lead these children the right way. And children, you got to say, my mom and daddy loved me enough to tell me yes or no. Tell me right and wrong. Not let me go that way. Not let me go the way that everybody else is going because they love me so much. They love me so much they'll tell me the truth even when it hurts. They love me so much that sometimes there's a little friction between mom and daddy on the way we're going to go. You understand? I know I ain't the only one in here. I still tell you, the Terrells is the most dysfunctional family in Calvary Baptist Church. I'm telling you. But these last days, we got to really pour it on. And you really got to search for yourself. Where do you stand with God? Where do you stand with distractions that this world has? You know, there's distractions on television. Thought about Adam and Eve. Satan just distracted her and twisted the Word of God. He distracted her. What'd she do? She went back and distracted him. Now they're both distracted. Now who pays for it? They're children.
That's right.
Let's don't get distracted. Let's stay on that straight and narrow path. Iron sharpeneth iron. Let's sharpen each other with the Word of God. Not with no abuse, not with no power, but with the Word and the Spirit of God going before us, leading us and guiding us, being a light into our path. Let's do that 2024 because we're going to need each other. This next generation, these next generations, they're going to need that. Train them up. Train them up now so when they get our age, they'll know what to do. They'll know where the path, the straight and narrow is. They won't go wandering off. And if they do, they'll come back. We got that next generation. When I get down here and pray, I'm praying for that next generation. Amen. That it'll continue on. That God will pour out his blessings on these men and call them to preach. And take them all over the United States. Bless them. Bless them with souls for the hire. Bless them. And these girls to have a godly spouse and have the ability to sing. And guess what? We're gonna need a food coordinator one day. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna need somebody that does the whatever Judy and Brother Larry do. Booking the fellowship hall. We're going to need somebody to do this thing. We're going to need somebody to get the supplies. We're going to need somebody to change the sign out there. We're going to need somebody to cut the grass. We're going to need some deacons. That's what's coming. What is Calvary Baptist Church going to do about it? Where do you stand with God so when that calling comes, are you going to be able to fill that post? Or are you going to just have to drop your head and say, oh, woe is me? Ask yourself that tonight.